This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe, and from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm Gary Holt. Joining me out in Santa Clarita, California, is our lovely co-host, Bobby Jean Bell. Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. I am doing very well. I have had so much fun listening to some great music that we're going to be talking about a little bit later in the show today. And, man, that's one of the perks of what I do. You just get to hear some great music. Yeah.
Isn't that fun? We get to hear great music and read great books and learn about all kinds of new things. That's one of the greatest things about having a platform like this to share with the public.
And talk with and meet some wonderful folks, just like our first guest today. And who is that?
We have Almeda Bradshaw joining us this morning, and I think she's calling in from Montana.
All right. So it's going to be a lot of fun talking with Almeda today, and we're going to get to that pretty quickly. We want to remind folks that the Campfire Cafe is made possible by the great sponsors in the general store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the Western and equestrian lifestyle, and by our Legacy Select horse campgrounds and guest ranches. For the finest riding destinations in North America, visit our Legacy Select horse campgrounds and guest ranches and plan your vacation dream trip this year from our great sponsors that you'll find there. And you'll find all of those on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. So, Bobby, do you know whose birthday it is today?
You better tell me.
Miss Loretta Lynn turns 84.
Oh, my gosh. Happy birthday, Loretta Lynn.
Yeah, so Miss Loretta is 84 years old. The coal miner's daughter has just released a new CD, and it is great. And so we want to wish her a happy birthday. And another friend of ours, Vince Gill, turned 59. I think it was on Tuesday. So,
my goodness,
lot of birthday folks. I can't believe Vince is 59.
I'm not going to say how close in age we are.
Anyway, talented people, and it was a lot of fun to participate in an event with Vince just about 3 weeks ago, I guess it was. So happy birthday to all of those folks. And, there'll be more birthdays coming up. Of course, we lost a great artist last week with Merle Haggard. And, gosh, I've been listening to so much of his great music this past week as people have paid tribute to him. So, anyway, happy birthday to Loretta and happy birthday to Vince Gill. And I'm sure we're missing somebody, but we'll try to catch up next week with our birthday list. So, anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be visiting with Miss Almeda Bradshaw, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
There's something I must tell you, a confession I must make. You see, I'm sort of an imposter. I'm kind of a country cowgirl fake. I was born and raised a town girl, miles from any cow, way out on the Oregon coast. So I suppose you're wondering now just what I think I'm doing here in these western-type clothes, singing old-time cowboy songs and quoting country poems. Why, you're maybe even thinking she's like them Californians who just by moving to Big Sky Land think they can call themselves Montanans. Well, I understand your sentiments, and I agree with them in part because cowboy and country, they are a way of life, but it's also a way of heart. It's more than all the things you do. It's deep inside your being, that love of land and animals and of hard work and of giving of a helping hand when your neighbor is in need. It's love for God and family. That's all in your Western creed. Yeah, it's more than mending miles of fence or seeing that the herd gets worked. It's knowing that there is a higher call that puts God and others first. So the next time you see some greenhorn walking the streets of your small town and he looks more than a bit ignorant of how cowboy and country things are done, well, I know that you won't judge him and you're going to give him the benefit of the doubt, because you know how that saying goes, that you can't take the country out.
By way of pre-introduction, that's A Way of Heart by Almeda Bradshaw. And Bobby, why don't you tell us the rest of the story?
Absolutely excited to do so. I'd like to introduce Almeda Bradshaw, a Western woman. She says, "I had to move east to find the West. Though raised a town girl on the Oregon coast, all I wanted was to be a cowgirl. I spent hours riding the range of my imagination in a swing-set saddle, and when tall enough, I threw a leg up on my family's trusty propane tank and rode off into many a sunset." Almeda Bradshaw is one of Montana's talented Western singer-songwriters. Her love and appreciation for the Western way of life is expressed in heartfelt songs that give voice to the Westerner, cowboys, cowgirls, ranchers, farmers, and more. A lifetime of writing and playing stringed instruments places her work above the ordinary. Clear vocals, a compelling stage presence, and accomplished musicianship guarantee Almeda to be an audience favorite. Since her teen years, she has also written poetry, journals, and songs, and has been performing at cowboy gatherings throughout the West for nearly two decades. Today, we'll be talking about and listening to her critically acclaimed CD, Lovers, Wives, and Mothers, A Western Woman's Voice, currently ranked number 2 on the Western Music Association's Top 30 Cowboy Western Albums chart. And two of her songs, Heavenly Here With You and Colors in the Rain, are on the top 10 played song list. And I got to say, that is really an accomplishment. And congratulations, Almeda. Please welcome to the Campfire Cafe the Columbia River Cowboy Gathering and Music Festival's recently crowned 2016 Cowboy Idol Musician, today's guest singer, songwriter, performer, and poet, Almeda Bradshaw.
Oh, I love you, Charles. That's great.
Thank you,
Bobby Jean and Gary. What a fun time. Thank you so much.
Glad to have you with us. Hey, we're gonna kind of start at the beginning. I just had this picture of you climbing across that propane tank as a child.
Oh, it's true. It's true.
But tell us a little bit about you growing up, where you grew up. Obviously, that was out in Oregon, and your migration. As you said, you had to go east to find the West. So we'll talk about that migration just a little bit too.
That's right. Yes, I grew up on the Oregon coast. That's about as far west as you can get. And my family was. Father was a school teacher, and we lived in town, but I was born with this desire to have a horse, which I think a lot of young girls have, and it was just in me, and I kept following it, and eventually my family bought some acreage inland and up the Coos River, and we moved up there, and I was able to get my first horse. I was in junior high at that time, and I learned to ride and through the 4-H programs, and I was fortunate also to live right around a dairy. We were surrounded by a big dairy, and the dairy family had a young gal about my age, a young daughter, and she had a medicine hat paint horse, an old guy, and he and I and the four of us, let's put it that way, would all go out and ride and work the dairy cows, bring them in, and do different things like that. So I had a little bit of experience, even as a greenhorn kid, getting around cows and learning a little bit. So, yeah. But that's where I was, you know, out on the Oregon coast.
All right. When did the music come into your life?
Oh, gosh. Well, that started early. I was one of four kids. We all were involved in music. My father loved a big band, and so my older brother and sister both played band and orchestra instruments. And then I came along, and my mom decided to do something different, and I got piano lessons, and I was put into the string orchestra program. We were in a school district that was large enough to have both a string and a band program. And so I started off on the fiddle or violin in the fourth grade, and they put me on the cello in the sixth grade, and I played that through college, and I played piano through college, and so that was all my musical start. And I got my first guitar when I was in junior high, so I got a horse and a guitar about the same time, perfect timing, and it all came together. So there you go. That's kind of how I got started.
That is pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what about your migration west? When did that happen for you?
Well, that began, here, my father was born and raised, and my great-grandfather started the first bank in Bonners Ferry, Idaho. So, I mean, because that was my dad's home area, we went up to Idaho every summer of my life growing up, plus other holidays and stuff. It's like we were trekking back and forth between the coast and North Idaho Panhandle every year. And so that was a really natural thing for all of us to, as we graduated out of high school and college and various things, we all ended up kind of going that direction because my parents retired there after he was done with his career. So Idaho was the first step to go further, to go east to find the west I was looking for, which then ultimately became Montana. And I took a teaching job in Montana after being in North Idaho. And from that teaching job in the Flathead Valley, I met my husband at that time. And we ended up then moving to Big Sandy, Montana, North Central. And my husband at that time was a multi-generational rancher, and he wanted to get back to the land. So we both quit our 9-to-5 jobs in the Flathead Valley and bought a seed and feed plant and acreage in north central Montana in Big Sandy, moved there and began our life back on the land as business owners. But we also, we finished 150 head of hogs, we ran 150 pair cow-calf operation, and we raised horses, breeding to really great performance horse stallions out of Texas and various places, and raised our family, and just worked our butts off, quite frankly, for quite a few years. But I was living the life, and it was certainly, it was a dream come true for me, there's no doubt.
Yeah. What did you teach?
Well, I was an elementary. I was an elementary school teacher. I taught I was certified K-8, but I basically ended up teaching in junior high. That was my main job stint. I didn't spend a lot of years in the public school system. Actually, only about 7.5 total. Started out as a kindergarten teacher, and then did junior high. And then my last year of teaching, I taught on the Rocky Boy Indian Reservation up there outside of Big Sandy for 1 year. I taught fifth grade there. So, the teaching is I've always been basically kind of a teacher, I guess, in some regards, because I taught music lessons too, private music lessons on the side for quite a few years. And so anyway, that's kind of what I did with the teaching.
Wow. How was it working with the children on the reservation?
Well, you know, it's it was a mixed situation. I'll tell you what, it was like no other, you know, it was like any other public school. It wasn't any different than walking into a public school anywhere else in terms of the building, the format, everything. But then you get in with the cultural aspect of it, and it was different. And there were a few things that I found uplifting, and there were a few things I found that were difficult to deal with. But all in all, it was a good experience. They really liked me, wanted me to stay, but boy, I just was had too much going on. My daughters, I have three daughters, and they were in junior high and high school, and busier and cats on tin roofs, and I just needed to keep up with them. So I only taught the 1 year and got back to the farm and ranch and the family.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you've had some good life experiences through all of that. And
I have had a lot of experience, yes, sir. I have.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask, and I know I'm probably taking some of Bobby's thunder, but I'm going to ask this question, and then we're going to keep moving on. But musical influences.
Oh, golly. Well, back in the day, the time that I was playing, Crosby, Stills, Nash, Joni Mitchell, Fleetwood Mac, Bob Dylan, you know, the folk element, plus the pop rock type stuff, folk rock. Was all really big, and I had two things happen to me. One was both about kind of the same time. The Nitty Gritty Dirt Band put out their mm-hmm. Circle album, and
yeah.
when that just opened up the whole world of the old country and the Carter family specifically. And then I began to teach myself to flat pick guitar like Mother Maybelle Carter. And that really influenced me. I still, obviously, I'm a flat pick guitarist, and bluegrass is a big part of my musical world. And then the other thing that happened, which is so cool, because Bobby mentioned that I was over there in Kennewick at the Columbia River Gathering and was had a lot of fun winning the Cowboy Idol thing over there. But what was even more wonderful was that David Frizzell was the headline act on Saturday night. And it was back in 1977 when Willie Nelson released his album To Lefty from Willie.
Mm-hmm.
And he covered 10 of Lefty Frizzell's songs. I spent the entire summer listening to that album, and I learned every single one of those songs. And that's the summer I actually wrote A Cowboy Memory, which is on my second album. And so that was a long time ago. Those were the two epiphanal things that happened, I guess, in my musical world, because what I did at that album, I fell in love with Willie Nelson. It was really my first introduction to Willie Nelson. And to Lefty Frizzell and country music. And so I just, you know, been big influences in my life. So,
well, yeah. I will tell you that as you listen to this CD,
mm-hmm.
I could hear influences of all of that.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout this
mm-hmm.
CD. And it is a great one. And so we're going to go ahead and get into the first song that we're going to share with folks today, and that's Colors in the Rain. Anything you'd like to share with us about this one?
Well, I wrote that in 2009. It was based on a poem by a lovely lady named Betty Wolf Duncan. She's a cowgirl poet, published, and she heard me do some of my Voices from the Range songs at the National Cowboy Poetry Rodeo in Montrose, Colorado a few years back when we competed together. And she liked what I was doing, and she mailed me this poem and said, here, you can have this. She says, if you want to do something with it, you know, be my guest. And I put it to music, and it's Colors in the Rain. So.
All right, well, yeah. I'm glad she gave it to you, and I'm glad you did something with it. So let's take a listen to Colors in the Rain, and that's from Lovers, Wives, and Mothers by Almeda Bradshaw.
It's only an illusion. Colors in the rain, and only echoes in my brain. Oh, there is no rainbows in, and there is no pot of gold, no. There's just this rain of falling down and the wind.
And mothers, and we're talking with Almeda Bradshaw today on the Campfire Cafe. And Bobby, I'll let you kind of jump in here.
Almeda, I want to personally tell you that this is a phenomenal CD. I absolutely love it. I hit the play button over and over again. I'm blessed to have two copies of it because we did support your fundraiser, and we're blessed with one of them through the fundraiser project. So I have one that's just always in the car, and then one that's in a CD player that I use kind of in the mornings when I'm getting ready. I listen to all the new music that comes my way, and your this CD just sits right by that player to pop in when I'm maybe disappointed with what I'm listening to, and I say, no, I got to listen to Almeda.
Well, I can't tell you, Bobby Jean, thank you. I mean, it is such, I'm serious, you're about making me want to weep, because to be able to produce an album that folks will listen to more than once is, I mean, it is the best feeling in the world, because I know that a lot of folks love music and they love to produce music and they put their heart and soul into it, but not always is it something that you want to listen to all the time. So to hear you say that is really, it just touches my heart very much. Thank you.
Well, I think
sounds like you have a groupie there or something. It's like number one fan out there in California. Yeah.
Yeah, and coming from Bobby Jean Bell, I'm sorry to keep interrupting, but coming from you, Bobby Jean, that means a tremendous amount to me. Thank you.
Well, I've been a fan a long time, and this project is really, as I was just saying, it is tremendous. And I think part of it is the well-thought-out variety of what you offer. There are lots of great CDs where every track by itself is really great, but when they're all together on the CD, it all sort of sounds the same.
Yep.
Individual tracks are great, but you know exactly what I mean, I'm sure. And yours, each one is different. It's clearly your voice. It's clearly your inspiration. But you do take us on a musical journey, and each one is very distinctive and on its own. It does not surprise me to see tracks showing up on the 10 most played list, because you offer a full variety of choices for DJs, to choose from.
Sure.
Tell me a little bit about how you did choose. You've got some covers and you've got some originals. Can you tell us a little bit about the process of how you chose what to put on this project?
Sure. Absolutely. Well, going to your point you were just making, I've learned that there is an art to putting together an album that's enjoyable and compelling to listen to from beginning to end. And I learned that by making that very mistake that you were referring to with my first album. And that was the one thing that some folks said was, it sounds the same kind of from beginning to end. So I began to realize that it was important to give the listener a good experience is to change it up a bit. And with my background of various musical interests, bluegrass, folk, the Western swing, which I'm not real strong in, but I did put one on my album. I just decided to draw upon my different musical interests and styles and incorporate them all into one album. And so for the style aspect, that's what I did. For the content, well, it's quite a great story. I don't know how much time we have, but in a nutshell, I went to Durango in 2014, and Tom Russell was one of the headliners for the concerts. And went into his concert and listened to him. And the one thing that I came away from that was is that it's okay to sing sad songs. It's okay to sing about the guts and the pain and the reality of a Western life, because I know that one of the wonderful hallmarks of Western music is that it does reflect positive values, it's upbeat, it's optimistic, and all of those things I think are what attract us to Western music to start with. But at the same time, gosh, there's some reality that's out there that I think needs to be shared. And so when I heard some of those songs of Tom Russell's, and he gave me one of his albums that has all his Western songs on it, and I listened to that thing all the way home, and I would cry at one moment, I'd laugh at another moment, and it was just so freeing, because I came away from that saying, I know what my next album is going to be, and it's going to be my woman's songs of Western women. And so I came home and began putting it together, and about a year later it was out. And that's how that worked.
Well, that is a tremendous story, and I think as I look back just over favorite CDs that I do pull out from a variety of artists, it's exactly that combination of storytelling, and I laugh and I cry, and then there's the upbeat one, and then there's the the one that can be bittersweet or is and I think that's so important when you, as a merchant wanting, because you do it all, you have a blog on your website about, I do it all,
exactly.
I am my record label, I am my producer, I am my talent scout, I'm everything.
Yes.
And in this day of just downloading single tracks, here is a situation where you want that whole CD, whether you're downloading the entire CD or you're purchasing the CD. You don't want to pick and choose your tracks. This is a CD that the pieces all hang together, and there's a full story there, and you need to have all of it.
Yes, that's true. There really is a storyline. And when I talked with my producer, Lance Bendixson, out of Denver, actually, I can't think of the name right now, Wheat Ridge. But anyway, he wanted to start talking with me about song order. And I says, well, Lance, they're already in the order I want them. And we had a little bit of discussion. But I think he finally began at this stage of the game, because I had listened a lot to what he wanted to do with the songs, with my input, of course. But at this point, I says, you know, this is the order they need to be in, because they do tell a story, and it does follow. There is a thread that runs through them. So anyway, that's the order they stayed in. And he finally agreed, and I think that it was a good deal. So, good
choice. I have destroyed the thread today, because I've not gone in order, but I want to bring up something as we're going to play Cold as Clay in just a minute. But I had a very interesting conversation with a friend out in Colorado last night. She may be listening, so we're talking about you, Mary, if you're listening out there. But one of the things that she said to me was, she said, Gary, I was not familiar with Western music until I started listening to your radio program. She said, where do you find it? And I said, well, that is a bit of a challenge, because and you and Bobby just alluded to that a minute ago. As an independent artist, you have to do everything. I mean, you're publicist.
Correct.
I remember when I was in radio as a teenager, strangely enough, but a lot of guys got into radio when they were somehow or another in high school.
Yeah.
We used to have people that came by, and they brought, at that time, 45s around, you know, asking to get airplay. So, you know, people are always looking for airplay. They have to find you on the air some way, whether it's online today or through a brick-and-mortar station, to expose people to the music. And it's a bit of a challenge today. This song that we're getting ready to do, and I was listening to this two or three times yesterday, it's kind of like Bobby, is like I kept pushing the play button again, you know.
Wonderful. Thank
Cold as Clay. Cold as Clay could be broadcast on bluegrass stations all across the country.
It is being broadcast on bluegrass. So, because that was, I have contacted some various stations that I knew did bluegrass, and they are playing it. So, now what you're talking about, I'm going to start doing. Lance Bendixson told me to do this. He says, when you travel through towns, you just need to call ahead and say, hey, I'm going to be there to these radio stations, and just knock on the door and actually walk in to whatever radio station, or if it's an internet radio, if it's somebody's home, you just get a hold of them and you walk in and you say, here's my album. And if they can, they might even put you on the air right then, or interview you or something if you give them enough heads up. But that's a whole nother aspect of bookings and developing your gig runs, which I call, what I call tours, to me is a gig run. It's so much work to get all of this lined out, but you just do the best you can, and if I could just say this really quickly to all of your listeners, you want to find Western music, go to westernmusic.com. Is that right, Bobby Jean, for the Western Music Association?
Dot org.
.com may work, but .org.
Okay.
For sure.
Yes, and you can find all of the Western artists that are a member of the Western Music Association. You can peruse through them, and you can go to their websites, and you can begin to discover all of the people that are doing this great music. So westernmusic.org, right?
Yeah, that's it. Well, let's take a listen to this one. Some of my bluegrass friends out there, take a listen to this. This is Cold as Clay, and this is another great song from the CD Lovers, Wives, and Mothers. And we're talking with Almeda Bradshaw today on the Campfire Cafe, heard around the world, online at equestrianlegacy.net.
heart of a man far away. He once held me near, his love was so dear, but it's gone now and cold as flame. We met in the light of a blue night, stepped to a dance hand in hand, and our hearts beat time in sweet rhythm and rhyme to a song meant to be in God's plan. Treasure each other, cherish your love, hold fast, it can slip away. Treasure each other, cherish your love, and it won't grow cold as clay. In this sinful world of troubles, beware, for the tune of your song can change, and the dance in your heart becomes awkward and hard, and your love grows cold as clay. Treasure each other, cherish your love, hold fast, it can slip away. Treasure each other, cherish your love, and it won't grow cold as clay.
I just like saying the title of the CD.
Yeah, gosh. Oh, that's...
Is that all one woman? I mean, is that all one woman?
Oh, that's song. Yep. That is a true to life story. I wrote that in 2007 when my marriage was completely unraveled at that point, and that is all about my ex and me. Yep.
All right. All right. Well, yeah, I wasn't really going there, but that's okay. That was.
Yeah, that's
true. I'll have to come up with a title for mine, you know. But that's pretty cool.
Well, you have to have four. You would have to have what? How many? Four different titles? You'd have
never
to have
mind.
Songs,
never mind.
Gary.
Never mind.
But
to Gary's
question, the title, Lovers, Wives, and Mothers. How did you? I'm always curious about that. Did that title come to you before? You know, when you were thinking about the project, or did it come to you as you're working on the project? Because I don't think there's a song by that title, unless I'm crazy, right?
No.
So
actually, I don't know if you recall, Bobby, but I did a jam at the WNA maybe 3 or so years ago, and I called it Lovers, Wives, and Mothers, Songs About Western Women, and the people who came into the jam would sing a song that, you know, had sort of that theme. A guy could sing, a gal could sing, but basically, and I just consider it the three main facets of a woman's life. You know, we're lovers, we become wives, and then we become mothers. It's sort of a progression. Not everybody, but I mean, in general, that's to me what certainly is true in my life. That's the three things that I have been and still am, you know. So
yes, well, it's a very appropriate title, and I know that faith is a big, you know, is a central kind of boulder in your life, and I know that you have dedicated this CD also to a couple of very worthy causes. You want to chat about that for just a moment?
Well, yeah, I look at myself and try to figure out what I can do to help in the world. And, you know, there's so much need out there in various areas. And I look at what I have been able to do. And with my singing and performing, it gives me a platform to simply share stories and information. And so I wanted to share something in that regard regarding human sex trafficking, because it's such a horrible thing that's going on. It has gone on for all of humanity's, I think, existence, and it just seems to be getting worse, though. And so I figured, well, if I could help in any way, it would be to help raise money. And I don't do it in a very large way. I'm not a big name person out there that can pull together giant fundraising concerts, but I do what I can, and I share my message in churches. I share in various places that will support what I'm doing, and there's two places in specifically that I send money to, and one is Sarah's Home, which is outside of Colorado Springs, and this is a faith-based home that helps take in girls who have been rescued from human sex trafficking, and they work with them to restore their lives. And the other one is in Lincoln, Montana, and this is a older couple who have raised their family, and now they open their home to girls and help them to reestablish their lives. And so that's what I do, it's just really dear to my heart. So that's what I do. Yeah.
Well, that's a wonderful thing, Almeida, and congratulations on that. I think that just speaks as well for your heart and for your passion for this project. And and I think that's another compelling reason to, you know, not just download one track or buy one track, support this by purchasing the entire CD, because it does have life beside our own listening pleasure. It has a purpose.
Right. It does. It definitely does. And that's really what I want to do with my music. I hope that it does impact with the world in a way beyond just entertainment, which is nothing wrong with that. That's a wonderful thing to do. But I also want it to have a lasting impact in other ways, too. So.
Well, that is great. That is great. Well, those are worthwhile causes. And it's pretty frightening the way that there was just some kind of story the other day about someone that tried to pick up a young child not too far away from me here in Tennessee. And, you know, the purpose would have been to put that, to take that child and put him in human slavery. There is this song that we're going to now, Rosa May. Rosa May, tell us about this one.
Well, we all know this is one of Dave Stange's beautiful, poignant songs. You were talking earlier, Bobby Jean, about how I decided on the cover songs. And isn't it surprising that the four songs I picked were all written by men? But these are some of the best songwriters, and they're able to capture the part of a woman in their songs so well. And I just really wanted to put some of the best on this album. So Rosa May is about a prostitute who was real, live gal that lived in Bodie, California. But one of the things I struggle with, if I'm going to go ahead and talk about it, is I see a lot of women today dressing up like the old West prostitutes and having fun with it and stuff. But I'll tell you what, there's just something glorious about prostitution in any way, shape, or form. And women who made a living at it, there may have been a small percentage that actually made that choice and are glad they made that choice till all the way through to the day they died. But I'll tell you, they are a very minor percentage. And most women, given the opportunity, would never do that. And so I just think that this song captures the real essence of what prostitution was all about anywhere in the world, in the West, modern, ancient. This is what prostitution is all about.
Well, let's take a listen to this song, and it's called Rosa May from the CD Lovers, Wives, and Mothers, and we'll be back to talk more with Almeida in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
Right.
Rosa May, she arrived one autumn day to ply her trade in the town of Bodie. Her cheeks were blazing red from the chilly wind, she said, but the lines around her mouth were even colder. Down on Maiden Lane, the others just the same, she lay down for the miner's dollar. Her hands were coarse and plain, like a song without refrain. But there was always lace upon her collar. Miners gathered round, play. whisper of the sage was like poetry.
Resume from the CD Lovers, Wives, and Mothers by Almeda Bradshaw. And I was listening to, you guys watch The Voice? Do you listen to any of these, watch any of these shows?
Oh, yeah.
The Voice?
Yes,
yeah.
I do.
I was thinking about one of the comments from one of the judges. There was a young man that had just done a great cover of somebody's song. I don't remember the song or who it was, but the statement was to this young man, "You have made that your own." And mm-hmm. so I think the mark of a great artist is to be able to take a song that somebody else has done and make it their own. And just my thought there.
Well, thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very heartful song, full of a lot of emotion in that song. So yeah.
Well, it is, and one of the great things about music. Go ahead.
What
go
I was
going
to say is one of the traits of a really fine songwriter and performer, because not all performers, you know, you're doing a Dave song, and of course Dave does his, you know, does it as well, of course,
mm-hmm.
is the ability to take a tough subject and
mm-hmm.
make it listenable, make
mm-hmm.
us want to. You know, when we were setting up this song, one might almost think, like, really? Do I really want to listen to a song about that
mm-hmm.
topic? And would
mm-hmm.
I really want to listen to it over and over again? And
mm-hmm.
but that song is so lilting and haunting and full of message
mm-hmm.
that we do listen to it over and over again without,
wow.
you know, fast-forwarding past it.
Yes. Well, that is such a, yeah, that's true of the song. I want to thank Dave Stamey, of course. It is his song, and thank him for writing it and allowing others of us to sing it and enjoy it, and as the listeners and as performers. So, yeah, it's amazing. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll be quiet now.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Gary.
I was just going to ask how much of your Western lifestyle influences the music that you write.
Mm. Well, in this case, of course, with Lovers, Wives, and Mothers, it is my life as a woman, and the Western element of it is probably not as apparent. In this album, of course, is take somebody like a Trinity Seeley or a Caitlin Pesek, who are both really wonderful songwriters and are writing about their life. They are working ranch women. And I don't exactly have that. I'm not a ranch working woman, although we have horses and I assist my husband with training and exercising horses and such. But so I'll tell you the one that my next album someday, when I do my cowboy album, that I would be able to talk a little bit more about how my the Western life is from the ranching and horse aspect has influenced me. But with this particular album, it really comes more from the heart of my being a woman. And these
okay.
songs, I think, are universal. I think anyone anywhere in the world can, no matter what their life experience, can enjoy them as just songs expressing the heart of a woman. So,
yeah. Well, let's. This is a great song that we're going to go into now, and this is one called "Heavenly
mm-hmm.
Here with You." And
you
want to
yeah.
share anything with us about this one?
Well, yeah, I suppose of all the songs on here, this does reflect my life the most. Clearly is that, my husband and I, we do have horses, and we ride along the Yellowstone River here and watch the sun go down on occasion, and so there's a lot of truth to this particular song. So, yeah, this is a love song, And it comes perfectly after Rosa May because it's like 180 degree opposite. When a woman is married to a good man and he loves her and she loves him, it's a beautiful thing and provides the security, the just the safety and the everything that a person needs to flourish. And Merritt has certainly been that for me, and I want to thank him from the bottom of my heart for his love and his patience with me as an artist, a performer, but that's what the Heavenly Here With You is, my husband's love song to me, even though I had to write it and I have to sing it to myself. It's still his love song to me.
All right, well, let's take a listen to Heavenly Here With You, and we'll be
all
back
right
to talk more with Almeida in just a moment.
Evening sunset slipping from the sky. My pony's waiting, anticipating our end of the daylight ride. Forget those chores, honey, come on, get outdoors. This I know is true. I'm living well this side of hell. Life is heavenly here with you. You're wrapped up in my arms. You sway to the beat of my pony's feet. My heart in a rhythm warm. Flopping along to an unshot song, we watch the world go gray. And the nighthawk sings, we rise on wings like Pegasus away.
Heavenly here with you, and I tell you, I could hear them playing this song on real country radio all across the country as
there
well.
You go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There
you so you, Bobby wants to talk about production values, I know, but
sure.
Talk a little bit about, because part of this was done in Nashville, and Bobby, you can jump in anywhere that you want to too.
Well, you got it rolling. That's fine. And by the way, you have a great website. So if folks want to know more about you, you've got liner notes here. You've got the credits. You've got your touring schedule. You've got your blog.
Yes.
You've got all kinds of great things. Why don't you give us the, I mentioned it, why don't you give us the web address for people?
Okay. It's my first name, Almeda, A-L-M-E-D-A. Then our brand is M2B. That's M, the number 2, the letter B, music.com. So it, in a nutshell, it's Almeda, M2B, music.com. Yeah.
And I
Google
know
my name and my website will come up somewhere. So
it will come up. And I know that if you're listening and you would like to have Almeda come and perform in your area, contact her.
Absolutely.
One of the things that you do list is the credits for this CD, and it's really fun to kind of read through all of the music accompaniment and the other. Talk a little bit. You've got Ernie Martinez on here. Talk a little bit about how you decided to, you know, do these with all these folks.
Okay. Well, it all began with my association with Lance Bendixson, and Lance is an Emmy award-winning and Grammy award-winning music producer, composer, and so I started off working with him, and we started talking about what are we going to do for recording, and he says, you know, you can go to Nashville and get great musicians probably for a better price than what you're going to get here in Denver, but obviously, it's going to cost a lot to go to Nashville in and of itself. But, you know, I made the decision. It was a bucket list thing for me. It was a birthday present for me. And I just said, yes, let's go to Nashville. So my husband and I spent a week in Nashville and took in just so many wonderful things. But what I ended up doing was spending 2 days at Sony Tree Studios, and where we were able to put down the bass line and a number of instruments using some fabulous Nashville talent. And I'm so grateful for the experience. It was amazing. And so I got some really cool people on there. David Spiker is my bass player. I don't know if you guys know who Buddy Spiker is, but he is the legendary fiddler, and he is the fiddle on George Strait's Amarillo by Morning, and everybody knows that fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
This is his boy, David, and who is an incredible talent. Wanda Vick is my fiddle. Robin Rudy is my banjo, lap steel, and pedal steel. I had some native drums and a wonderful native flute player, Gareth. Mm-hmm. He is a young man, about 17 years old. He's just an outstanding individual with his own album that's been charted. So anyway, really great people. It was a beautiful experience. And then came back and finished it up in Denver with Ernie Martinez playing mandolin and banjo for me, some more banjo. John Magny on the accordion. What an incredible person he is. Oh, my gosh. And then we had a whole bunch of native singers come in, and they brought their drum in and about blew out the microphone on poor David, the engineer. But they got that figured out. But all in all, it came together and just became a real magical moment of making music. So I was very, very pleased for the whole experience and all the people that gave so much to make it happen. So it's great.
Well, it's kind of interesting because, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you can hear a little bit of everything in the CD, you know, a little bluegrass, a little country, a little western, a little folk. I mean, it's just a great, great combination of all of these things. Did you get to visit the Bluebird while you were in town?
Oh, absolutely. I played the open mic a Monday night at the Bluebird. That's a whole story in itself. My gosh, what an experience that was. And like I said, I could take up 15 minutes telling you about that. But it was very cool. I had an obvious audience positive reaction when I sang my song, and I sang Cold as Clay, my bluegrass tune, and it was a great experience. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, Nashville's a pretty cool town. I think one of the it cities is what they're saying about Nashville. But so much music. Did you make it over to Third and Lindsay and visit with the Time Jumpers?
Absolutely. You betcha.
Those guys.
That Monday. See, that Monday was my birthday, so I got to play the Bluebird Cafe for my birthday. And as soon as we were finished with that, we jetted right over to Third and Lindsay and listened to the Time Jumpers. And my gosh, it was so wonderful, the whole thing. We did the Opry on Friday night. I played the Bluegrass Jam at the Station Inn the first Sunday that we flew in and got to meet some great pickers there. And I am coming back. I've got a friend, good friends. My bass player that I play with out here, Wes Horton, actually, he and his wife Susie live in Goodlettsville. And so that's who I stay with when I'm out there. So I'll be going out again just to hang out around that songwriter scene. That was the coolest thing, and I really want to spend more time just hanging out with those guys.
You learned not to travel from downtown Nashville to Goodlettsville at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, didn't you?
Absolutely. worst city traffic I have ever been in. I've been around. I've been down to LA. I've been to Denver. So it was unbelievable.
The traffic comes with being an it city, I guess. So we just have to live
with
that.
You bet, absolutely. It is a hidden place.
Yeah, this next song is one. This is one of my favorite from the CD, and I'm not exactly sure, but Bobby was talking about something kind of being haunting a little bit earlier. To me, Somewhere in the Rubies is. Tell us about this song.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's my husband's favorite song, too, and that's one of the reasons it's on there. It's a great story behind it. I got to hear Ian Tyson in 2009 in Elko for the very first time, and actually saw him at the Star Hotel while we were waiting for our Basque dinner. And I walked up to him, and I just stuck my hand out and said, "Mr. Tyson, I am so excited to meet you and to hear you for the very first time." And he looked at me like I was from Mars. And he looked at me and he says, "Girl, you got to get out more." And that was so funny. And so so I got to hear him in concert that Saturday night. And he sang Rubies. And as he was singing it, I just wept. I don't know what it was. It's a love song. But I just wept all the way through it. And when he was finished, he said, "I wrote that song for my daughter." And he had lost contact with his daughter, from what I understand. And I hope I have the story correct. But, when he went through his divorce with Sylvia, and he lost contact with her. And he wrote that out of his pain, the pain of a family torn apart. And that pain of losing a child is what also motivated me to add that to the album. Because I don't think there's anything there's nothing worse than to lose a child. And so
no, there isn't.
I just needed to express that pain. I haven't lost a child, but I know some people have. But I have experienced the pain of a family torn apart, and the girls lost their dad first to leaving us, and then he died of cancer. And so we've had a lot of that, a lot of pain. And so just a way to give it voice and in a beautiful way. And I don't think Ian Tyson's song I don't think anything comes close to touching that with. I just love his song, Somewhere in the Rubies tonight. So.
It is a beautiful song, and your husband obviously has great taste because he married you and he loves this song. So let's take a listen share that with our audience. Somewhere in the Rubies tonight, this is Almeda Bradshaw, and from the album Lovers, Wives, and Mothers.
Thank you.
knew which way to go, I would hold you in my arms again. I'd find that winding road again that leads back to you. And these ruby mountain storms, they won't keep you from me anymore. I centered on this desert floor, so far from you. And I still see you.
That is so good. I mean, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about this song.
Well, you do a great job with that song. And, so I was sitting around last night, and I listened to this thing a couple of times, and I thought, I need to create a video out of this. So I thought, you know, I could envision myself sitting around a campfire and this song being sung and a lonesome coyote howling in the background.
Oh, somewhere. Yeah, yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Love this song. Well, we're keeping you and Bobby way over today, but it's just so much fun talking with you. We have to talk about Parker Eyes of Blue. We're not going to have time to play the song, but this was a finalist in the Western Writers of America Spur Award for the best Western song. And tell us a little bit about this song.
Wow. Well, this song, I could not be more pleased that the song garnered some recognition, because this song I worked so hard on it. It took me about 2 years to figure out how to express what it was I needed to say regarding Cynthia Ann Parker. Cynthia Ann Parker was abducted by Comanches in 1836. She was 9 years old, and she spent 26 years in captivity with the Comanches, and actually became the mother of Quanah Parker, who we know through history was the final Comanche chief to bring the Comanche people into reservation life. But
right.
Cynthia Ann Parker was abducted, and she never re-assimilated back into white society after she was captured. She was brought back after 26 years, and they tried to re-assimilate her back into white society, and she simply couldn't. And I thought to myself, why? And that was the first compelling question, was why? Because this girl was 9 years old, and she could have remembered, and but simply couldn't and didn't or wouldn't. It was possibly a combination of all of those things, but that, I just was fascinated by her story. The other aspect of it was how the mother felt, because the mother survived the attack. Many of the Parker clan family members and others of the Parker fort area there were killed, but the mother survived, and just the whole thought of seeing her daughter abducted and going away on the back of a horse with a Comanche warrior would have just, I don't know how a person can survive that, you know? And
yeah.
So those were the things that compelled me to want to write this song, and I did, and it has turned out to be well-received, and I'm really grateful for that, but it was quite a process to get through it, but I'll tell you, if I have time, one of the things that really helped me to understand was I read S.E. Gwynn's book, Empire of the Summer Moon, which gives the history of the Comanche people and goes into great detail about the Parker massacre and Cynthia Ann's role in the Comanche history. And when I, you know, read that, it really opened my eyes to some of the things that happened to her that would have caused anyone to lose. Basically, she lost her white mind. It was
yeah.
so traumatic, the brutality that the captives were put through. It was much like any brainwashing thing that can happen to people in those situations. The brutality is so intense that I truly believe she lost her white mind and then was through the years then became Comanche. And that's
well,
the
you,
way I tried
you,
to explain.
You do a great job in telling the story in the song, and
yeah.
so our audience is just going to have to go out and pick up the CD.
Exactly, yeah.
So
now
they
can
hear
this.
You've got
to go buy the album to hear this song. I mean, come on.
Yeah, Parker Eyes of Blue. So give us your website again, and let's tell
mm-hmm.
folks where they can find you one more time.
Okay, yep, Almeda, M2BMusic.com. That M2B is our brand, letter M, number 2, letter B. Almeda, M2BMusic.com. Yeah.
All right. Well, it has been so much fun talking with you today, and I apologize for keeping you
hey.
Over. And I know that I know Bobby has things that she has to do, and she's been kind of hanging with us. But it has been
yeah.
so much fun to talk with you. Gosh, there's so much more we could get into, talking about your horse life and your performance horse training
yeah.
and some of the different things.
Okay.
And so you know what that means, don't you?
No.
Bobby knows. What does that mean, Bobby?
Get invited back.
Yeah, got to come back again. Have to come back.
There you go. I love that.
All right. Well, we're going to close out the segment of the show with another great song from the CD Lovers, Wives, and Mothers with Almeda Bradshaw. It's one called Hallie Lonigan. And anything you want to tell us about this one before we go?
Well, this is a song of Tom Russell's, one of my favorites, because it is about the heart, about and from the heart of a woman, and it's about a strong woman who is able to get through adversity, and that's what it's all about. And I think that there are many, many strong women out there that make it through adversity and difficult situations, and they survive and come out on top. And I think that's a good thing. So this is what Hallie Lonigan celebrates, the strength of women.
All right, we're going to listen to that. And we've been talking with two strong women today on the show, Almeda Bradshaw
yeah.
and Bobby Jean Bell. And we're going to come back in just a moment with more of the Campfire Cafe. And Almeda, thank you so much
yes.
for taking the time to be with us and share with us today.
Well, it's certainly been my pleasure, Gary and Bobby Jean. Thank you again so much for having me on and giving me the opportunity to share some thoughts about Lovers, Wives, and Mothers. Oh, it's been wonderful. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And this is Hallie Lonigan. We'll be right back.
Donegan, and I married Walter Jones. For better or for worse, so said the Reverend Dr. Stone. But the better days are all used up, and the worst ones took control. Then drinking took my Walter, God protect his. The muscles of my back. I'm Allen Lonergan, and I'll tell these truths for you. Hard times, the only times I ever knew. Hard luck's the only horse I ever drew. Hard work's the only way. Trader from in town, a blacksmith named Charlie Hawk, he'd court me on his round. But he paws me like a wolverine, and there's cheating in his blood. He fell upon my butcher knife and crawled off through the mud. When old Charlie disappeared, and me and them poor children never shed one single tear. We can run this place on our own, don't need no drunks or cheats. And the men, they step aside now when I walk down Market Street. I'm Hallie Lonergan, and I'll tell these truths to you. Hard times, the only times I ever knew. Hard luck's the only horse I ever drew. Hard work's the only way I made it through. History books will say, proud men on fast horses drove the Indians away. My name is Hallie Lonergan, and I'll have you all to know that the secret of your history's in a working woman's soul. I'm Hallie Lonergan, I'll tell these truths. Hard times, the only times I ever knew. Hard luck's the only horse I ever drew. Hard work's the only way I made it through. Hard luck's the only horse I ever drew. Hard work's the only way.
Lovers, wives, and mothers. And we've been talking with Almeda Bradshaw today, and we have her number one fan on the line with us. And Bobby, what a fun show.
Oh, absolutely. There's always fun with Almeda.
Yeah, well, it was great to have her on.
Yeah, I'm so excited for her to have this CD just doing so well and to be so well received. It is truly a treasure. So congratulations, Almeda.
Yeah, fun show. We've got a fun show scheduled for next week. Tell us who we've got joining us.
We have live from out west. John Bergstrom will be joining me right in our little storefront, and we'll be, of course, chatting also with Andrea Kidd, who is a tremendous horsewoman and a cowgirl poet, and she will be with us at the Buckaroo Bookshop next weekend. We have Bren Hill and Andy Nelson also coming, calling in. They're on the road that morning, traveling down from a concert the night before in Auburn, California, heading for the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival, coming into town. So they'll be giving us a call. I'm waiting for a confirmation. We're hoping that Mickey Daniel will be able to stop by. She has a really early morning gig with the KTLA TV program here in L.A. I think she has to be over on the festival grounds at like 5 or 5:30. It's their early morning show, along with Sid Masters and the Swing Riders. They are going to be on TV, and then they're hoping to stop by out west. They're done about 10, and so they may be joining us as well. So we never know who we may have next week.
Well, it's gonna be a lot of fun. This will be the second year we've kind of featured the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival and done some live guests with you, and so we're looking forward to that show, and that will be live at noon, as always, at equestrianlegacy.net. I know you got to run. I'm going to plug quickly our event rendezvous that's coming up, and that takes place June the 2nd through the 5th. We have a music arts and crafts festival that will be part of our event this year, along with Craig Cameron's Extreme Cowboy Association National Championship and 120 miles of beautiful trails that you can come out and ride or hike. There is going to be something for everyone this year. And we're doing this to raise money for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation, who helps children with brittle bone disease. So you'll have a great time for a very, very worthy cause, and that is June 2nd through the 5th. You can find out more about that at our website at equestrianlegacy.net, a list of all the artists there and all the activities that are taking place, and you'll be able to make reservations. Bobby, we've got folks that contacted me yesterday coming from the United Kingdom to take part in this.
Gosh.
How about that?
So exciting. Oh, they'll have such
Canada,
a great time.
Yeah, from Canada and from all across the United States, and now from the UK, folks that are going to show up and be part of Rendezvous this year. So anyway, any final thoughts that you'd like to share with us?
I do have one. Here it is. Every day is a new opportunity to change your life. You have the power to say, this is not how my story ends. You have the power to rewrite your destiny. Go write it.
All right. That is a great closing thought for the show today. And always so much fun to have you with us. Thanks for hanging in like you have today. And thank you for listening. We remind you that if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world, online at equestrianlegacy.net. Come to Rendezvous, and you're going to hear this fella on Saturday night. We'll close the show out today with Cowboy Logic by Michael Martin Murphy. Thanks for listening.
There's a great American hero we all look up to. When the times are hard and chips are down, he knows just what to do. Now a cowboy's got a set of rules that he lives by day to day. If you ask for his advice, he'll more than likely say, if it's a fence, mend it. If it's a dollar bill, spend it. Or it burns a hole down in them jeans. If it's a load, truck it. If it's a punch, duck it. If she's a lady, treat her like a queen.
that's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. It's in the way he lives his life and the songs he sings. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. He's got a simple solution just about anything. If it's a job, do it. Put your back into it. All the little bit of dirt's gonna wash off them drains. If it's a horse, ride it. If it hurts, hide it. Dust yourself off, get back on again. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. It's in the way he lives his life and the songs he sings. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. He's got a simple solution for just about anything. An old cowboy and a young buckaroo were working, riding fence. The old hand was testing the kid on his skills and his common sense. He said, son, if you've seen three men in a pickup, dressed alike from boots to hat, could you tell which one was the real cowboy just from where he sat? Well, the kid scratched his head a while, and then he said, well, there just ain't no way to know. The old hand grinned, and then he said, kid, you still got a ways to go. The real cowboy is the one in the middle. He ain't there just by fate. 'Cause first, he don't have to drive, and then, he don't have to mess with the gate. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. It's in the way he lives his life and the songs he sings. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. He's got a simple solution just about